Gracious Heavenly Father, we, as always, we come before you. We picture you. We picture you on the throne of heaven. You are our God. You are above all things. You are the creator of all things. You had no beginning and you have no end. We just don't understand that from a human standpoint, Lord, but we believe it. And so when we believe that and we believe your word, it's our responsibility then, Lord, to continue to search your word and grow in our understanding. And you've given us help. You've saved us. You've saved us from our sins by sending your son to this world and having him pay the price for our sins by dying on the cross, but not staying in the grave, rising from the dead. So we have that recognition, that hope of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And then you gave us the most powerful tool that we could receive still in this life, and that's the Holy Spirit. So we pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray that we recognize the prompting of the Holy Spirit as we continue our journey here in this on this earth, in this life. And so I thank you for how you have revealed the Holy Spirit in so many ways to me over the years, and helping me to do what little bit I can do to teach. So thank you, Lord, for all those things. And we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the people who have come. We thank you for the people who may as well be listening in. We thank you for bringing Austin back to us. Thank you for the trip that he went on and the surprise he was to his to Sonia for her birthday. And I just thank you that he's back and can do the work that he needs to do here. Lord, I just pray for leading me this day through the continued process of Psalm 119. And help us to look at the meaning in each verse, compare it a little bit to the Hebrew, and see if we can get even greater meaning from what you have shown us in Psalm 119. So I thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do for us this day, and I just pray for this time of study that it'll be a blessing to you, and we give you the honor and the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to jump right into the MEM, which is on the handout on the bottom of page 5. The MEM is the last part. We stopped with the Lamed last week, and so we're ready to pick up with the MEM. Now, the MEM is interesting because the MEM is a character of the Hebrew alphabet that is represented by water. And we know how important water is for every one of us. We cannot have life without water. And so it's an important thing. So the mem character in the Hebrew gives us a picture of that importance. And so When we go through this teaching at the bottom of page 5, you'll see that there's no Hebrew words specifically describing the mem. You'll see that the beginning words that I've highlighted or emphasized at the very beginning in the Hebrew are more prepositional. So it always starts with the mem, which then points us to the rest of the verse. And so what I'm going to do once again, I'm going to read a verse at a time. I'm going to start with reading our English translated Bibles. So I'm reading from the NIV, and so you follow along as best you can from it, whatever translation, whatever version you have, and see how it compares. And then we'll go back and read it from the sheet I gave you on page 5. Starting with verse 97 through 104 is what we're working on right now, 97 to 104, those eight verses. And the mem pops up in the Hebrew translation of this at the very beginning of each of those eight verses. And that's a reminder of what God has given us in the book of Psalm 119. To help us to understand the importance of the Hebrew language, I believe, to some degree. And so I'm trying to do the best I can to share what I know, and hopefully it'll be helpful. So let's delve into it. I'm going to read, like I say, a verse at a time. I'll read it first in the modern translation or English translation, and then I will go back and read from the sheet each of those verses one at a time. So we're starting with 97. 97 for the mem, starting with the first verse for the mem. And it just so happens that the first part of this pretty well agrees with not only the English translation, but the Hebrew in the here. So that first line is, "Oh, how I love your law." Now, you may have a few other different words in there, perhaps. I'm not sure what other translations did with that phrase. But I think that...
Yeah, well,
okay. Yeah, so it's pretty similar anyway. But I thought, for me, looking at this from the English back to the Hebrew, that line, I can say, it's the same. So, oh, how I love your law. And I think that's an important phrase, not only for the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, way back when, in the days that this was written, in the days of David or thereabouts or after, and so that's the first part of this verse. Oh, how I love your law. And then the English or the translation in the NIV that I have then goes on and says, I meditate, so that's heavy thinking, I meditate on it all day long. And I don't know about you, but I wished I would commit myself to doing that a little bit more. At one time I could memorize verses. I've just kind of lost some of that ability to maintain verses. But the more you can memorize a verse and be meaningful to you, and you can bring it back, I think the better it is. So that that verse in the English, I meditate on it all day long. And you can see in the Hebrew, it's just a couple words different. All the day it is my meditation. So a little bit changing, just a minor difference. So that one follows pretty straightforward. So let's move on to 98. 98 in English, your commands make me wiser than my enemies. I'm going to stop there, because the first part of this Hebrew kind of starts with than my enemies, you make me wiser. Now, that doesn't read very well in our English way of thinking, but that's how it is in Hebrew. Than my enemies, you make me wiser by your commands. And then it finishes with, for they are ever with me, for they are forever to me in the Hebrew. So it's pretty close. So I encourage you, just on your own, I'm trying to do this in a broad way, but just on your own, go back and compare. Compare your English translation to the Hebrew that I put together in these sheets, and you can see how the Hebrew doesn't read many times the same way we would do it in English. Words get kind of flopped around, so just so you're aware. The third verse there, which is verse 99, the English, I have more insight than all my teachers. And in the Hebrew, than all my teachers, I have more understanding. So it's switching a few words around, but pretty much the same. Yeah, so you're going to have some minor differences. And
it's just the same understanding.
Yeah, the understanding word comes through on all these. And so I don't have it handy what that word is in Hebrew for right away. But it's close enough that it's translated literally into English from the Hebrew word. I have more understanding. And then it ends... than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. And that's the important reflection for God's people. For when we read God's word, what are we to do with it? We're to meditate on it, reflect upon it, think about it, pray about it. And so then the Hebrew says, for your testimonies are a meditation to me. And so that's an important reflection to realize that when you, it's a testimony to God and to the teachers that may be instructing those that are learning. All right, verse 100, the English, the first part of it, I have more understanding than the elders. Now, here it's interesting because the Hebrew word calls the elders ancients. So, does yours have that too in the King James? Yeah, so those are little interesting differences. You know, we would think, well, they're old people, ancients. You know, they're way back in the... like your teacher. No, it's... So, anyway, that's the difference there in that first part of that. Than the elders or ancients. And for I obey your precepts. And then that finishes with, I understand more because your precepts I keep. An important concept. If we keep God's word, follow his precepts, gain our understanding of it, we stay on the right course, on the right track. And I think that's important. So 101. The next one, the English, I have kept my feet from every evil path. And in the Hebrew, from every way evil, I had kept my feet. So it's pretty close. Yeah. So there'll be minor differences even between the different English versions. So, and then it ends with, so that I might obey your word. And it's pretty close there, that I might keep your word. Pretty much the same concept from the Hebrew, when you translate it to the Hebrew. Verse 102, I have not departed from your laws. There it starts with from, again that preposition, from every way evil I had kept my feet. I had kept my feet. From every evil path, let's see, so that I might obey your word, and that is that I might keep your word. Again, pretty close. So, anyway, 101 pretty well follows a similar translation. 102, the English, I have not departed from your laws. That part of it. From your judgments, now the word judgments is used there, your law or judgments, not I have returned. And that kind of switches as we would say it. Instead of I have not, it says not I have returned. And then the end of it, for you yourself have taught me, and that's pretty much the same word, for you have taught me. For you have taught me. Verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste. And there the Hebrew, how sweet are to my palate your words. Pretty straightforward. And then it concludes with, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And the Hebrew says, more than honey to my mouth. So again, very, very close. 104, the English, I gain understanding from your precepts. And there it starts, through your precepts, I get understanding. And then it ends with, therefore, I hate every wrong path. And so it's concluded there in 104 with, therefore, I hate every way false. So you can see some minor differences, and that's all I'm trying to point out to you. It isn't that much different when you try to translate it, most of the things, from English back to Hebrew, or from Hebrew originally to the English. So you kind of get an idea that the translators, you know, through the years, worked on this. You know, it's pretty, I think it gives us a pretty good indication that most of the good Bibles, you know, do a pretty good job of translating from the original language on this. So anyway, that's the man. So let's move on page 6 on the back of that page to the noon. The noon is just a character that's kind of like a parenthesis, a part of a parenthesis, but it really pictures a fish or life. And I like to use the term life here for noon. Noon represents life. And so in some fashion, as we go through this, the 8 verses there, in some way, the noon character will be represented in the words that we've put in parentheses, and for me, I've highlighted them, and that might be something you want to go back and do. It's not every verse, unless I missed a couple, 106 and 107, I don't have anything, but 108, 109, 110, 111, and 112 all have words that start with the noon for describing what we're reading. Okay, so let's go through this. Read it from the English first. 105. I'm going to read just both lines together on this one because it's pretty short. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I think most of us have probably memorized that Bible verse. It's an important Bible verse that I think we can know by heart and repeat it when we need to. Yeah, your word is a lamp to my feet. In other words, okay, so you're walking a dark path on a journey that you don't know for sure where you're going. And there's no light, there's no lamp, there's nothing to show you where you're at. You're likely to trip and fall. You know, what are all the bad things that can happen to you in that light? But so this is referring to God's word. This should be recognized for each one of us. When we study God's word, when we memorize God's word, when we repeat God's word, that becomes a lamp to our feet, both individually and hopefully as we pass it on to others. And a light for my path. And so when we look at the Hebrew, it's simply a lamp, which is Nayir, N-I-Y-R, spelled out. It's 3 characters. I won't give it. It gets a little tedious, so I won't mess with that. Karen told me I did that too much last time, so I will abide by her thinking on it. So anyway, that's the word for lamp. To my feet, your word is, see, that's kind of switches things around again, your word is, and light to my path. So it's very similar, but it's kind of the order of words in how it's written. Okay, verse 106. 106 is... I have taken an oath and confirmed it. So I'm going to take this a step at a time, a part of it. So the first part of that is, I have taken an oath and confirmed it. And the Hebrew is, I have sworn and I confirm it. So that's pretty close, pretty close. And then it finishes the last part of that phrase, that I will follow your righteous laws. And there it's to observe judgments, your righteousness. Now that doesn't read very well, but your righteous judgments, I would say, would probably follow our English way of thinking. To observe righteous, your righteous judgments. And so that's a minor difference. 107. I have suffered much. In that part, I have afflicted too very much. Now that doesn't read too well either from the Hebrew, but you get the idea. You get the idea. And so I guess as you read through this and study it a little bit for yourself, you'll see how close things do align between the translation and how they were translated into English. So
my English says, I am exceedingly afflicted, so it does have just a slight difference in words there, too. It does say afflicted.
Yeah. So, let's see. That I will follow your righteous laws to observe right judgments.
We're on 107.
107, okay.
Second half.
Yeah, okay, the second half. Let's go through that whole thing a step at a time. I have suffered much, preserve my life, O Lord. And the Hebrew, I am afflicted to very much, O Jehovah, or Yahweh. And so that's fairly close, but, you know. O Lord, according to your word. And that follows pretty closely. Give me life by your word.
I just followed all that lately.
Yeah. So, the more you study this, the more you look and compare the English translation from the Hebrew, which is what our Bibles are, and then go back to taking how it was translated by the translators and compare it to how it reads literally in the Hebrew that I'm trying to show you. So 108 has another N word in it, not Nadab. Nadab, there, and so let me read the first part of 108 in the English. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth. And so, in the Hebrew, it starts with a phrase that's Hebrew, free offering, Nadabah, my mouth accept, please. O Jehovah, or Yahweh, and your judgments teach me. Now that doesn't read very straightforward. So, but if you shuffle the words around and make it fit more like the English translation, you'll see it's basically the same meaning. So that's 108. 109. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I'm going to just read the whole thing. I will not forget your law. So that's the whole thing there. And the Hebrew, my life is in my hand continually, yet your law not I do forget. Now, there's a few phrases that, you know, in Hebrew, put the not first rather than I do not. Not do, I do. And so, but the nefesh there, the word there for my life, is something that follows that the noon theme, my life, because really the noon is a picture of life. It's a picture of a fish swimming in the water. So it has those two meanings, just life in general. God gives us life. We only continue to have life in this life as long as God continues our life. And so it's not in our hands. Yes, we can do things that, you know, avoid things that may cause us to die, you know, but we can't necessarily predict. And that's where some people, I think, really get into trouble, because if things are going terrible for them and take their own life, that's taking the decision out of God's hands and putting it into the person's own hands. But I understand it, because pain is a very difficult thing to deal with. So anyway, that's just, I'm kind of a sidestep on that. But 110, let's see, 110 reads, "The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts." And then the word there is interesting, "have laid," as it begins in Hebrew, and that's the word Nathan. Nathan, in Hebrew, "the wicked, a snare for me, yet from your precepts not, I do wonder." Again, there's another phrase that, you know, seems to read kind of difficultly for us in English, but verse 10, in English, "the wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts." Then verse 11, "your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. I have inherited," so the word there, the Hebrew starts with that phrase, "I have inherited," nashal, "your testimonies forever. For the rejoicing of my heart they are." Again, it kind of switches words around there, but you get the drift of it, that it's pretty much the same meaning. And then the last verse in that section is 112, which is, "my heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end." That's a pretty strong witness. And that should be all our desires. And Hebrew says, "I have bowed." In other words, I have succumbed to God's way. "I have bowed," natah, "my heart to do your statutes," to follow God's way. And then, how long? Always, to the end. That's an important phrase that this ends with, the noon, life. Remember, the noon represents life in general, or the fish in water, if you will, swimming upstream. Can picture there. But the natah is, "I have bowed. I have bowed my heart to do your statutes always to the end." Okay, let's keep moving. The psalmic is next. Verse 113. The English translation, "I hate double-minded men, but I love your law." That's fairly simple. Now the Hebrew, half-hearted, and that has a Hebrew word there, sephi, "I hate, but your law I love." So if you're half-hearted, God hates it. Don't give him the totality of your heart. Don't be half-hearted, divided. In other words, I'll do it God's way half the time, or a quarter of the time, or whatever. No, God requires and desires wholehearted, no division. And so that's a phrase that I think we should keep in mind. Sif is the word in the Samai, Samak, "I hate, but your law I love." Verse 114, "you are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word." And if we follow that in 114, "my covert," which is another Hebrew word there, sithra, "and my shield, you are in your word I hope." Again, some of these don't read very straightforward, but you can see the similarity. The last part, in fact, "I have put my hope in your word," and they translated it, "you are in your word, I hope." You know, so it kind of flops words around, but you can follow it. 115, "away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God." And the word "depart" there is what it begins, and that's the Hebrew word sur, and it means depart. Depart from me, O evildoers, for I will keep the commands of my God. And that's pretty close, that last part of it, that I may keep the commands of my God. So that's right on. Basically the same words in translation. So 116, sustain me according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Now this, uphold me, that's samach, according to your word. Uphold me, keep me up, according to your word, that I may live, and not let me be ashamed of my hope. Never be ashamed of the hope you have in God, in Christ. 117, uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for your decrees. And there, hold me up, sahad, and I will be saved, and I will look to your statutes always. So that's the same general meaning. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for your decrees, your statutes, your word, your laws. Verse 118. You reject all who stray from your decrees, for their deceitfulness is in vain. In the Hebrew, you have trampled, and there's a Hebrew word there, kelah, all who go astray from your statutes, your laws, for is falsehood their deceit? Falsehood is their way, their deceit. And so that's there. And then 119, all the wicked of the earth you discard like dross, thrown away the waste. Discard like dross. Therefore, I love your statutes. And that uses a Hebrew word for dross, which is sieg. You have made cease or stop all the wicked of the earth. Therefore, I love your testimonies. So that's what he's proclaiming his acceptance of. Therefore, I love your statutes. And then we finish with 120. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. And there it has another Hebrew word, samar, which means has shivered. And that's the trembled. Flesh trembles in the fear of you because of your fear. And then it ends with, my flesh and your judgments I have feared. And so that's what we need to be more concerned about. I stand in awe of your laws. Keep God's laws, and you have no need to fear. God will make the way. So I'm going to try to get through one more, which is the Ayin. I'll do it fairly quickly. So as I do, go back and read it for yourself. But I think the Ayin, verse 121, I have done what is righteous and just. Do not leave me to my oppressors. And that phrase, I have done, does start with an Ayin, which is the eye to see, saw. I have done what is just and right, not to leave me to my oppressors. It just doesn't read well as we read it in English, but do not leave me to my oppressors. And that's a better translation for us. 122. Ensure your servant's well-being. Let not the arrogant oppress me. And there you have another Hebrew word, arab, which is an Ayin word. Be surety for your servant for good. Not so let oppress me the proud. Again, that reads a little awkward, but I think you can get the drift and see the comparison to the English. Verse 123, my eyes fail looking for your salvation. Let's see how that reads. Looking for your righteous promise. My eyes, and that's the Ayin, which is the ayin is the representation of the eye, fail for your salvation and for the word of your righteousness. 124, deal with your servant according to your love and teach me your decrees. And so we have the word in Hebrew for deal, which is the same word up above, asah, with your servant, by your mercy and your statutes, teach me. Again, use God's word to teach us. And that's what we're continually to do and be reminded of. Verse 125, I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. Your servant, Ebed, is in Hebrew, I am, make me consider, and I will know your testimonies. You know, it reads a little roughly, but I am your servant, give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. 126, it is time for you to act, O Lord, that's Yahweh, your law is being broken. It is time, and that's eth in Hebrew, to work. Again, to work can be translated asah. For Jehovah, or Yahweh, they have broken your law. So it's a cry to the Lord. Because they've broken your law, do something. 127. That because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold. Therefore, that's just all. I have loved your commands more than gold, even fine gold. And that pretty much reads with the same meaning. And the last line is 128. And because I consider all your precepts right, I hate every wrong path. And that's where, you know, I believe we need to be able to discern and sort what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. And so when we read this in Hebrew, therefore, it means all the precepts I hold, all of the precepts wholly, I count right, the things that are right, every way false I have hated. Separate the good from the evil, separate the right from the wrong, and walk the right path. And that's, I think, what that one verse is strongly telling us. So, all right, I'm going to stop there. I think I got pretty much close to where I want to be. So we'll pick up and hopefully try to finish it next week. If we don't, I'll take another week and partially finish it with Psalm 119, and then we'll move on to the Proverbs. So I got to start working now on the Proverbs. And so we'll get something ready on that for an outline. So as we go through the Proverbs, we have something to follow. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you've given us to be in your word. We thank you for all of your word. Even some of the things we may not immediately understand totally, or languages confuse us. We just ask you, Lord, that you keep giving us your word on a regular basis in our prayer life, in our reading, in our understanding, and growing in our relationship with you. And so we thank you for being patient with each of us in our growing in our understanding of your word. Now, Lord, we thank you for this time we've had in study, but we now thank you ahead of time as we move into our time of worship. We once again pray for each part of our worship service. We pray first and foremost for the fellowship that we have in this place, the people coming into this place, the people that are coming into this place for the reason to hear your word and to grow in their understanding of your word, so that they will take it back out into the world and share it with others. And so we thank you for those who you bring into this place, and then we'll take it out into the world. We thank you for also the music that we will sing. We thank you for the communion meditation. I ask for your blessing upon that meditation as I share that. And I just pray that people will sense the importance of remembrance, remembering you when we take communion. And so I thank you ahead of time for that. And then I thank you for the scripture reading that Don has selected. I thank you for Don stepping in and filling in for Pastor Raymond these, 3 weeks until Raymond comes back. And I just pray that the message that Don has chosen will touch our hearts and help us to grow in our understanding as well of the Word. So be with us in this time and be with us the rest of the day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.